we'll be talking about Christmas again. You know, Christmas is not quite over with yet, so we'll be talking about Christmas. And the Christmas answer, why we have Christmas. Why do we have Christmas? Well, Christmas really spells riches. And you say, well, we just got through with Christmas and all these gifts and all this, that, and other, and you may not feel very rich right now, being the Christmas is kind of halfway over, and we done celebrated Christmas. You may not feel too rich. But a lot of people says, now, if you have your health, you are a rich person. Well, that is absolutely true. But I tell you, if you live long enough, that riches in your health will soon fade. Maybe just a pain and bones somewhere or another. And then would you say that I have riches? Well, true riches is in Jesus Christ. True riches in Jesus Christ. Whether you be well or sick, you have your riches in Jesus Christ. And first, to help us to see that, our riches and our power lies with Jesus Christ. Once a person sees and understands the riches that they have in Jesus Christ and the power we have in Jesus Christ, nothing can keep them from worshiping the Lord. Nothing can keep them from coming to church. You won't have to worry about begging or trying to. If they see their riches and understand the power they have in Jesus Christ, if they are a saved person, they will worship the Lord. Today, we just want to thank Him for the gift of Christmas and that we have the riches and the power that He have extended to each and every one of us and to our family at the cross of Calvary, what He come to do in this world. So the Christmas answer in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is going to tell us just exactly how rich we really are in Christ Jesus and the power that we have. Because the Lord has gracious possessions when He left heaven. But He came poor for you and I to be rich. And then He shared His great, great gift with each and every one of us and His provision with each and every one of us. And that's Christmas. Our riches and our power spells Christmas. And don't forget what it really means to each and every one of us this day. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that ye, through His poverty, might be rich. Let us pray. Father, again, we want to thank You for this past season of blessings, this past season of Christmas time. Lord, what it really means to us, and may we can understand more each day what Christmas really means. Our riches and our power in Christ Jesus. Father, for our families, our friends, and our loved ones this Christmas season, we thank You, Lord, for granting us this great privilege that we have to honor You at this Christmas season. And this day, we just want to thank You, God, that we might understand a little bit more about our true riches in Jesus Christ. That each day will grow sweeter and sweeter because we know more about You. So we pray for those who've lost of loved ones. Lord, we pray for those that's going into the hospital. And we thank You for those that's already released from the hospital with a word of praise from their lips that You have brought them back home. And Father, we know that You're going to be with those, though, Lord, through the hospital and through the surgery. Father, there's so many now on our prayer list that's sick. So many have different types of problems, unspoken requests this hour. Father, we just thank You and praise You in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, when we leave this place today, that Lord, that we can know and see, Lord, that our riches is in Jesus Christ. And we thank You for all these blessings in the name of our Christ and our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank the Lord for the birthday of Jesus Christ that we have just celebrated. The world and also the country we are living in now, have you know or know that there's a war on Christmas. Always have been a war on Christmas, but I tell you, you can understand there's a war on people. People may not think so. They may not think too much about Jesus Christ's birth, and they may not celebrate Jesus Christ's birth, but really, what it really means to you and I to understand the birth of Jesus Christ. You have your party for your birthday. You have your cake, and you have your candles, and you have your presents. What is the meaning of your birthday? What it would really mean If Jesus Christ did not come and we did not celebrate his birth at Christmas time, what would your birthday mean each year? You give your kids a birthday party. You give them presents. But what would it really mean for your kids and your family at a time that you celebrate your birthday? What would it mean if Jesus Christ did not come? What would it mean if there was no Christmas and he did not come and be born in this world? How much would you celebrate? Millions of people today throughout the world, they're celebrating their birthday, but they don't understand the great gift of Jesus Christ is birth. Praise God, because his birthday, the people that are saved and make it possible that we can be saved, his birthday for you and I, as we celebrate the birthday of Christmas, and we think about each year, every time that I have a birthday, every time that my kids have a birthday, every time that you and me and all of our family have a birthday, that means that we are one more year closer to the glory of God, Jesus Christ. And for all the world that wants the world Christmas, and they don't want to think about Jesus Christ's great birth, whenever they celebrate their birth, and those little children at home, as they grow up in a home that do not understand that they will not seek the pleasures of the Lord, and they will not seek the worship of Jesus Christ, and they sit at home today, and they raise these little ones in a home that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, each birthday they have without Jesus Christ is one more year closer to a place called hell. Thank you, Jesus, that you made it possible that when I have a birthday and you have a birthday and those who know Jesus Christ has a birthday, that I'm one more day closer, one more year closer to seeing the glory of my Heavenly Father. Thank you for what Christmas really means. The Bible says for us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is a command. That's nothing that you decide to do. That is a command. That's reason for a child of God, for a Christian. You are commanded to come to church because God owns you and you owe him everything. A command to grow, to understand the riches and the power we have in Jesus Christ. Many times people says, you know, it gets sweeter and sweeter every day. Well, that's absolutely the truth. Because the more that you know about that lovely Savior, the more that you understand about the riches that he has given you, and the more that you understand the power he's given you in this life, not even talking about the next life, the sweeter it grows every day. Sweeter and sweeter is Jesus Christ every day to me as we grow in grace and knowledge. One day that I'll stand before him and thank you, Lord, for that great gift that you come down this old world. Mothers and fathers need to bring and help their children grow and to understand this. It says, he was rich. There's three wonderful truths that I just explained to you that Jesus Christ came to do for you and for I and for the whole world over to understand what this Christmas is. And why Christmas? So many people ask that question, why Christmas? It spells riches and it spells power because the gracious possessions that Jesus Christ has. He was rich, was real rich. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government, the peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, and henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord, the host, will perform it. Jesus Christ was very, very rich. He laid down his life for us that we may have his riches. He came in humility that he had on this old earth. But I want you to know he is the great deity of God himself. Jesus Christ is called the Everlasting Father because he was rich in his person. He was rich in his person. John 14 and 9 says, he that have seen the Father have seen me. He was very rich in his person. He was the eternal God. Many false religions today, or all false religion today, believe that Jesus Christ was a good man. We know that the Mormons believe that Jesus Christ was a good prophet. You know, Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus Christ was a good prophet. The Muslims, Islamic faith today believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet. And all of them say that he was a good man. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. They do not worship him as God. But we know the rich young ruler that come to Jesus Christ. And you know, at that time he said, "Good master, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus Christ stopped him right then when he says, "Good master." Because he said, "If you can't call me God, you can't call me good. To understand I'm not a good master, I am God. To understand that, you can't call me both ways, you can't have it. You can't call me good, you can't call me God," because Jesus Christ was God. But that young man did not realize who he was talking to. He thought he was talking to a good man, a good master, and he recognized him as a good master. A lot of people recognize God, Jesus Christ, as a good man, but he is God himself. Jesus Christ is God. He's not just good, he is God, because "I am," he says, "I am." Also, he says that he was rich in his position. Not only was he rich there in his person, but he was rich in his position. Isaiah 9 and 6 that I've just read, "The government shall be upon his shoulder." Rich in what? He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's rich in his position, that name that's above every name. It says in Philippians 2 and 9, "Wherefore God has highly exalted him and give him a name that's above every name." When you worship the name of Jesus Christ, you worship the highest name that can be named, the name of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, people don't want to acknowledge Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you what, when you come to worship him, and we worship in Jesus Christ today, there's no other name above the name of Jesus Christ, no other name that we might be able to worship except Jesus Christ. Today, his name is Jesus, and he came at Christmas time, and he was the answer to our Christmas. All the problems we have, all the questions you might have at Christmas time, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ is the answer to everything. But not only that he was rich in his person, he was rich in his position, but also he was very rich in his power. Isaiah said again in that verse of scripture, "The mighty God." A lot of people will call Jesus Christ God, a God, but they won't call him the mighty God. He is almighty God. Jehovah's Witness will say, well, some says, you know, that he is a God. And you know, no matter what people say right about Jesus Christ, but if they're wrong about his person and who he is, they're wrong all the way down. A lot of people on television say some right things, but I tell you, if they don't name the right Jesus, it don't matter what they do say, they'll be wrong all the way down. 2 John 1 and 10 says, "If there come unto you any one bringing not this doctrine," that is the doctrine that Jesus Christ is God, "receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." That means anytime the occult comes to your house and knocks on your door, do not let them in. Do not bid them any speed. You just tell them that you worship Jesus Christ and you won't have to worry. He is God and they will flee from you. They do not worship Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, "A son is called the everlasting father. The government shall be upon his shoulder. He was rich in his possessions." It says, "The mighty God. Everything that was made by him and for him." In Isaiah 9 and 7, it also says, "For the increase of the government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of God, the host, shall perform it." Revelation 4 and 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Jesus Christ created all things, and for his pleasure. He has the possessions of this whole world today, and he don't need anything. We worship him because he first loved us. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, I'll read it again. "Yea, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and for your sake today he become poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." For your sake. When that Christmas night, when heaven and earth touched together, our Savior. Philippians 2 and 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." You see, co-equally and co-eternal with God the Father, Jesus. Remember, the Trinity is what we're really talking about. Philippians 7 and 8 also says, "He," excuse me, "but made him of no reputation, and it took upon him the form of a servant, and made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion of man, humbled himself and become obedient even to death, in the death of the cross. Jesus Christ become poor. And all the greatness he had, he become poor. He could become poor as a person. Jesus did. He come because of man. He was born in a smelly stable to redeem us. But also he become poor in his position. It says the government shall be upon his shoulders. But now, Philippians 2 and 7 again, he was made of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant, in likeness of man. The monarch in a manger this past week is what we celebrated. The sovereignty have become a servant this past week as we have celebrated. The Lord of glory washed the feet of smelly fishermen's feet as a servant. He become poor in his power. At Christmas time, he laid aside all of his riches to become poor. Philippians 2 and 8 again, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. His absolute power as God, he laid it aside as God, and he walked as man on this earth. He didn't lay aside his deity. He was God. John 5 and 19 says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, very, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. This is Jesus speaking. He can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, so what things soever he doeth, those also do the Son likewise. You see, the miracles he did was given to him by his Father. Him from his Father, not the power of God, but the power of God through him of the Father as he walked on this earth. He become poor in his possessions. He was totally limited to what God the Father could and would do through him. But God done everything through Jesus Christ. He became obedient, it says, of death, even the death of the cross. He was born in a stable. When he preached from a borrowed boat. It says the birds has nests and the fox have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He marched in Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. And when he was crucified, they took him down and they put him in a borrowed tomb. You talk about homeless people today, Jesus Christ had absolutely nothing except what he wore, that seamless robe and his clothes. No place to lay his head. Why he come that poor? So I want you to look at the gifts, what Jesus Christ has given you this past week and this past year. He didn't have nothing in himself, but he was willing for you to have everything. And the gift that he done on the tree of Calvary. As I said, for your birthday, every time I have a birthday, I'm getting closer to see my Savior. Woe to those people who do not believe in the birth of Jesus Christ. When they have a birthday, it's one more closer to a place called hell. Woe to those mothers and fathers that's raising their children as they are no God when they have a birthday. Psalms 40 and 17 also says, but I am poor and needy, but the Lord thinks upon me. Thou art my helper and my deliverer. Make no tarry of my Lord. John 10:10 says, a thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come they may have life and have it more abundantly. That means you might have it abundantly here and also eternally in heaven. The Lord is also very gracious in his provisions that he gives to you and I. And we thank him for sharing that because he become rich that we might be able to come. He become poor, but we might be able to come rich. Why Christmas? To make us rich. Because without Jesus Christ, you are very poor today. If anybody in this building without Jesus Christ, you are very, very poor today. He says in Revelation 3 and 17, and as he is talking to the churches, because they were a church that thought they had everything. But he says 3 and 17, in Revelation, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have needs of nothing, and knoweth not thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. There's a many a person today They think that they have riches in this world. And they do have the riches of this world. But they think they have need of nothing. What can a poor old fisherman from Galilee, a carpenter from Galilee and his fisherman friends give to me? Think about who Jesus is. Today, 1 Timothy 5:6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. You know, the Bible is not against us having things. I know this Christmas everybody opened gifts, and there was gifts, and there was gifts, and there was gifts. And God's not against anything that you have. In fact, he gives us all things for our pleasure. He's not against us having gifts. He's not against us having things of this world, because he gives us all things for our joy. But what he is against is those things having us. And that's the problem with a lot of people today. The things have the people, and the people don't have things. He said, remember who give these to you. Jesus came that we might be rich. You never, never enjoy the money, what money can buy, until you enjoy what Jesus Christ can give to you. Many people have tried to enjoy this Christmas without Jesus Christ. But you can't have the joy of Christmas without having the Savior in your life. Many people will try to be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied without Jesus. You'll never have the riches of Jesus Christ until you're willing to admit that you are poor and you're in poverty. You'll never understand this, and you'll never have it. Matthew 19:23 says also, then said Jesus to the disciples, very, verily I say unto you that a rich man can hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what he was saying was, you see, a lot of time people depends upon their riches. You don't have to have very much money to depend upon your riches. A lot of people don't feel like they need Jesus Christ. I can do it myself. I have a good job. I got money in the bank. I have a home. I have a house. I have an automobile. I can do it myself. What in the world could Jesus do for me? And he says, you'll never understand these riches until that person understands how poor they really are. And they need Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know and open our eyes that we can see that we need Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:3 also says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The Christmas gift, we share the riches in his person. We share the riches in his person. 1 John 3:1 tells me, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. The riches of his person. We are in Christ Jesus. That's where we're rich at. Every one of us. I hope that everybody is saved here today. Because if you're not, you can be. You can be rich in Jesus Christ. Because you see, you're in Christ if you're saved. Well, that's hard to understand, isn't it? That you're in Christ and Christ is in you. Yes, but see, when you see a bird fly, that you know the bird is in the air, but also the air is in the bird. You see a fish is in the water, and you know the water is in the fish, and the fish is in the water. You sit here this day and you're in Christ and Christ is in you. You might have a hard time to understand that, but that's exactly what he says. And it says in the verse of Scripture in Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he have made us acceptable in the beloved. Now you are acceptable before God Almighty because of Jesus Christ. What does this Christmas mean? It means that he made you acceptable. A lot of people have tried so hard and tried to live a good life and try to be real good to make God, to be acceptable to God. But God says, all of your righteousness are filthy rags in my sight. There's nothing that you can do to call me to accept me, accept you. And people, they'll try and they'll try and they'll try to do good and they try everything. Some people try church membership. Some people try baptism. They'll try to do everything. But I'm going to tell you, church membership will not save you. Baptism will not save you. That only shows what's already happened in your heart. But they want to try to do what Jesus done. And you hear from some of our religious friends that, you know, that you need to do the example of Jesus. You know, walk and do the example of Jesus. Try to keep the golden rules and the Ten Commandments. You see, if you could, which you cannot keep the commandments. But if you could keep the commandments, that would not save you. I'm going to tell you, because you're not saved by what Jesus Christ done while he was alive. It's his death and his burial and his resurrection that saved you. Yes, he lived this life as a sinless son of God. But his perfect life did not save you. He went on back to heaven without dying. You would have no shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without that death on Calvary's cross, all your goodness, all your trying. I mean, people says, I'm trying. I hope I go to heaven. I'm trying. This verse of Scripture said that God has accepted us in the Beloved. He has made us accept. You know what? You will not go to heaven unless you are a righteous person. They will nobody go to heaven except they are a righteous person. Well, what am I going to do about that? Because all your righteous are filthy rags, and God will not accept none of it. It says that God made you acceptable. He have give you the gift, and that is the gift of righteousness. As I look out upon you here this morning, I do not know your heart. I do not know how you stand with Jesus. But if I know one thing, I know if you're saved, you are a righteous person in Jesus Christ. Because he have give that to you. You did not work for it. You cannot improve on it. You are acceptable in the Beloved. It says in Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, and who I am well pleased. And he was so well pleased with his beloved Son that he wanted to fill up heaven with a bunch of sons and daughters. And that's what we are this day. The ones that done gone on ahead of us are sons and daughters. Well, the whole family of God, it says, in heaven and earth. You see, that's where the family of God is. One day, all of them be in heaven. But right now, we're in two places. We in heaven and we on earth. John 17:23 says, in them that thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and have loved them as thou hast loved me. I in them and thou in me. The bird in the air and the air is in the bird. You're in Christ Jesus, and Jesus Christ is in you. You will not make yourself acceptable. Jesus Christ says, give you his riches. That's what Christmas is all about, how wealthy that you really are. But also he shares his position with us. All of his riches, but also his position. Ephesians 2:5 tells me in 6, even when we was dead in sin, have quickened us together in Christ, by grace you are saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He shares his position that Jesus Christ is in the heavenlies at the right hand of the Father, and we're called up also. Where are you really at this morning? Well, if I had a boat and I put you in a boat and I shoved you out in the St. Mary's River or whatever river, where would you be? You would be out in the river. Today, are you in Christ Jesus? Where are you at? You're really in heaven already. You're in Christ Jesus. You may be sitting here this day, but you're also in Christ Jesus. And that is a great blessing of Christmas today, to know that he has come down to this earth and become poor and shared all these riches with us, we might be rich. In Jesus Christ in the heavenly. Paul wrote the Philippians, Ephesians, and all these was from prison. We share the riches of his power. He says, I am rich in power. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Now, he give us this power. You see, we have prayer, and we pray for one another. You say, pray for my family, pray for one another, and we should. What Jesus Christ says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. He's the one that strengthened us and keeps us going. You know, a lot of people gets down and say, I don't know if I can make it any further. I've about gone as far as I can go. And then Jesus steps in. When you go as far as you can go, Jesus Christ steps in, and it's just right for them. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the spirit of the inner man. The outside of these old bodies that we know is we got many on our prayer list. A lot of times sickness is going to catch up with you, health, as we grow older. But you see that we can grow stronger in the spirit. Our inner man might be strengthened. You know, and that's the best part of it, because we know these bodies are going to get weak one of these days. But you see, we can still grow in the inner man and get stronger every day by knowing the riches and the power that we have in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 40:30 says, even the young shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles and shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's for us today, the power that he gives us, that we might keep going. And then we find out we share the riches of his possessions. In Romans 8:17, And if children, then heir and heir of God, and joint heir with Christ. If so, be that we suffer with him, we shall also glorify together with Jesus Christ. What Christmas is all about. And to answer what we have just gone through, Christmas. Many a person don't realize or understand the great celebration that we have just celebrated. What Christ Jesus come to this earth to do. He become poor. He was rich. He become poor. But also he gave his, you and I, his possessions that we might be rich also. If we could understand as we grow from day to day in the knowledge and grow of the riches that we really have in Jesus Christ, how sweet it is. Every day with Jesus Christ is sweeter than the day before. That's growing in grace and knowledge of the riches that Jesus Christ has given to us. If you hear this day and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you, you don't know how rich you could be, but also you got to realize how poor that you really are this hour. As Brother Orville comes now with a song of invitation, God's lifted up to you to celebrate what Christ has done for us this past week, because he was willing 2,000 years ago to leave the glory of heaven and come down this dark and weary world that you and I might have his riches after he went to the cross of Calvary and was willing to die. If you're here today and you want to be saved, you can be saved by coming this way. It's up to you, Brother Orville.